Hi, this is Carly and Kevin here, and we're going to discuss the volunteer client coaching intake form for Kale, and it may provide for others in our group an opportunity for how, you know, what we discuss may be of interest to you or value to you and how you go about coaching Kale. But and we may have a broader group in the future. Other participants may listen to this as well. I'm not sure yet. Depends on how we go with this, just to get an idea of how to work with a coaching intake questionnaire when you haven't been the one who's really initiated the coaching. So, Kevin, thank you for doing this as well.
Pleasure.
First of all, as you read through, I want to ask you your impressions of Kale when you read through this.
Well, it sounds like he's, you know, my first impression was that he's a busy guy. He seems to kind of got an idea what his role should be, and he doesn't seem to be getting it there at all. He wants to be doing something other than what they keep giving him to do. That was sort of the general gist of you know, what I got out of it.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
When he talked about stress, he said stress level 2, it takes a lot to stress me. And then he went on to talk about what stressors are there. And so I kind of sensed that there was what he wrote down in kind of something that there's more to it than what he wrote down. Mm. You know, his comment, he wrote down a whole bunch of things that are stressors to him and then commented, I think he said something about it seems like a lot, but he said he was traveling to third world countries regularly and I feel these are all relatively minor. So to me that just says they should be minor, but they're really bugging me right now.
Mm. Yeah, that's a nice, I think, a nice potential insight. I mean, we don't know because he's not here to ask, but I tend to concur with you on this. Is low stress level, and we're referring to the intake form here, that the low stress level of 2 does not seem to match with the...
Yeah, he wrote down a number of things that are certainly creating some stress in his life, or at least potential stress. So.
Right.
So and that was kind of what I got out of it, is he seems to think that he wants to do some other things and doesn't really, he's not getting it and probably doesn't really know how to get to it. And then got a whole bunch of stuff going on in his world that probably bothering him more than he realizes.
Maybe. That's possibly true.
Yeah.
So right now we're focusing, I notice where we're focusing, which is on solving the problem. But what if we took a different approach right now, and what are the qualities and the values that you might want to tap into when coaching this client?
I think to find out what he believes his strengths are, what kind of gets him up in the morning and gets him to go to work, what drives him. And seeing if there's an opportunity to take those things and utilize that towards, you know, getting more about what he wants.
Yes, so that's the generic, and I'm deliberately sort of asking that question. This is for others who will listen to this too, because it's so easy for us to focus on what's wrong and the problem and ignore all of the qualities he has outlined, even if you may not first of all pick them up, because we're trained, I think, to listen and look for what's wrong.
Right.
Yeah. He gives you many clues in this two-pager intake questionnaire as to some of his strengths. So I'd like to take some time for us to pick those out, because if you focus on helping him to connect with his strengths, it will help you as the coach to support him in a different way than thinking of him as having a problem to solve or problems to solve.
Good. Okay.
Do you have the questionnaire in front of you?
I do. I have it up on my computer screen.
Okay.
Yeah. So I guess if we go through it one by one, the first thing that sort of sticks out, where he talks about providing strategic direction and transaction support, I think that the big thing here is responsible for delivering services that improve business performance. So I mean, from that perspective, assuming that, that he's doing his job, I would suggest that that's a pretty key thing to remind yourself of.
Mm. Yes, let's actually look at that one a little further. So improving business performance is what he's essentially about.
Right.
That's right. He writes that there and you just picked it out. How might you use that information to help him?
I'm sorry, what's that question again?
Yeah, how might you use that information to help him, let's say, with some of his other things that he wants to solve in here?
My gosh, I really don't know the answer to that, Carly.
That's all right. See, I'm piquing you a little. You're aware
well,
of
no,
you.
And I get that. I know exactly. I kind of have an idea what I want to do here, but or you know what I want to say, but I'm having trouble articulating it. I think it's along the lines of that's a day-to-day delivery of success. That's a very positive thing that he does day-to-day, if that's in fact what he's doing.
Yes.
And, you know, so, you know, I think if you start to take a look at the positive qualities and how you move that forward, just reminding someone or allowing them to remind themselves, more importantly, that, you know, what you are doing, if it's making a difference, then that's huge, right? That's a heck of a lot more than just sitting back and doing absolutely nothing or showing up for work every day and going home.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's one aspect to it. I'm actually going for the aspect of if Cale has these skills in his business environment, then something we often don't do is transfer those skills to other situations.
Mm-hmm.
So from what he's written here and the type of role he has as a consultant with a global firm, we can assume he's successful already.
I would suggest, yes.
Right, so we can come from that assumption. We may be incorrect, but let's come from that assumption for the moment. But also, you think he must have some ways to understand how to improve business performance. How might he utilize some of that knowledge to, let's say, solve his some of the other things that he's got in here that are important goals for him in coaching? He might have systems thinking. He might be able to apply a systemized way of thinking to what he does with clients and apply that methodology to himself, for instance. Mm-hmm. So I'm just offering you things that I would be picking out here, and I'm not saying you have to do this, but if you have a broader concept of what you can possibly coach from rather than just seeing the problem.
No, and that's important. I'm glad we're talking because it kind of weakens my mind up to where it's going as well. Yeah. I sometimes worry, Carly, that, you know, like you said, trying to solve a problem, but, you know, looking at these things, I sometimes worry that, again, it becomes my agenda. And that's something I'm trying to balance out as to how I direct the conversation, how much direction can I input and still keep it the client's agenda. That's kind of where I get my balance point is. I'm struggling with that, so.
Great, wonderful. That's a really nice, I like that you're in that inquiry and to keep playing with that because, you know, you really want to always keep the client full center stage and, you know, you're there to support them in achieving their goals and the way we do that as coaches is by being present and curious and hearing what the client is saying and where their energy is and trying to draw out what they already know and they have as qualities in themselves that can support them to solve their own problem.
Right, right.
So what we're doing right now is we're just trying to, all I'm working with you on and others who listen to this, is to broaden our scope of how we view the client so that you have more to draw on. You may only draw on one piece of this when you coach him, but you have more to draw on than if you don't consider the greatness, I'm going to call it, the strengths and qualities of the client that you might be able to help, you know, ask him about and just be curious whether he sees any parallels, for instance, if this one comes up, if he can see how he'd apply his knowledge of business performance to his personal situations. Who knows whether that'll come up, but that's one possibility.
Okay.
What else do you see here as possible strengths, as the next one down?
Well, I don't always maintain as strong a relationship with clients and colleagues as I could, and I seem to keep getting put on similar projects. Those two, to me, kind of, I don't know, they seem like he's trying to say something, but it's like two different things there, right?
Yes, I'd be curious about that. It's like, why does he seem to be getting on the same or similar projects, and does it relate to not building strong relationships with clients and colleagues that they would want to have him on their team, or what are the things? I'd be curious about what has him not get the type of projects that he says he's not getting.
Okay.
So let's keep moving for a moment. So I'm going to make an assumption that one thing he does want is he wants strong relationships, even though he doesn't maintain them, that there's some part of him that wants a sense of stronger relationships with clients and colleagues.
Okay.
And I could be wrong, but I'm going on what he says later on about EQ, emotional intelligence.
I was wondering what EQ was. I'm glad you brought that up.
Great.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yes. Well, let's go there now because it's a critical piece, and what we spoke on the phone, and he mentioned EQ, and I asked him how he knew about EQ because that's not everybody knows about emotional intelligence, which has been around since the mid-90s now and has been written about and is one of the most widely used leadership development tools, assessments, approaches now on the globe, okay. Which is how do you develop your emotional awareness? Sort of, and then how do you develop your relationships and how do you use that information to get to your results? But it comes through the human aspect, and it's a very scientifically proven PhD written about aspect now of human behavior. So he refers to emotional intelligence as being the primary outcome he wants from coaching, which is to foster better interpersonal skills. But the first part of emotional intelligence is actually self-awareness. Without self-awareness, it's very difficult to foster anything because you might not even know that you need to foster better interpersonal skills. So I'm going to make an assumption. He has some knowledge here he's done some study on EQ.
Mm-hmm.
And you might want to just look up that term on the web, you know, just put in emotional intelligence and you'll find tons of stuff on it.
Okay. So would it just be appropriate to just simply ask him to describe EQ?
Yeah, if you're curious about it and he mentions it, bring it up. If you want to, see, you're the first coach in this series, Kevin, so it's okay for you to say, and he knows that everyone's getting this coaching intake questionnaire who's on the calls.
Right.
And you can let him know that you've read it and that you know that you've written a lot of things that you're curious to ask about. But the one thing you really notice is that his primary outcome is improved EQ to foster better interpersonal skills.
Okay.
And so you can ask him more about that. You know, what does that mean? How did you learn about EQ? What are you curious to ask? And hear how he responds. But to me, this is one of his strengths, you see, is he's got some emotional, he's got some understanding that to be successful with his relationships at work and probably beyond, that he needs to develop better interpersonal skills. So something has happened. Maybe it's this not getting good clients, not getting different projects, not having strong relationships with clients, as he realizes he needs to develop his interpersonal skills. This is a very good sign.
Okay. I'm looking at this thing you talk about being in the bigger picture, and I'm looking at it, and I sense that, you know, from his answers to his questions, from some of the things that we've talked about, that I would believe if I was, I guess I am going to be talking to him tomorrow, but my first impression is that he's somewhat of an intellectual, analytical kind of personality. And I don't know if that's fair to gain from this or fair to even assume that right now, but I mean, I could be dead wrong too, right?
Well, you can make that assumption based on being into improving business performance and the fact that he knows that he doesn't have as strong a relationship as with somebody who had strong relationships wouldn't write here that they want stronger relationships with clients. I doubt that they would write that unless they were very hard on themselves. So, yeah, and it's just interesting to have that observation. He might be very much more analytical and business performance oriented, but somewhere he's realized that to get to the next level of success, he's going to have to develop his people skills. Because look at what he writes then as his three most important goals for coaching.
Improving awareness of nonverbal communication, specifically body language, altering and eliminating negative verbal habit. Oh, never even read that right the first time. Yeah, so the first two are all about trying to resolve something that he's not happy with himself about.
Exactly. He's relating that to his own ability or awareness to improve his own way of being with his body language and some verbal habit that I didn't hear him mention to me. So there's something he's got that is obviously causing him some distress of some kind.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So would a fair question at some point tomorrow be, why do you think that this is going on, or why do you think that, what is it about what's happened in your life or in your job or whatever that makes you believe that you need to improve awareness?
Yes, and not asked as a why do you think, because a why question obviously will put you in a place of saying, well, I don't know why I am that way. So why questions need to be used very sparingly.
Right.
But you see, let's just move on for a moment to that. I think that's, let's park that for a moment.
Okay.
And come back to that.
Okay.
Because the third one is not about personal awareness, right? It's about
getting his different, gaining more exposure to different things, right?
Right. Now, the question I might want to ask is, how do you know, how have you come to the conclusion or realization that developing your interpersonal skills will help you?
Yeah, because I think that relates back to number two, what we talked about again in number two, right?
Yeah, and also to his first two, three most important goals. It's like if he mentions then that he has these, or you can make the observation, I noticed that two of your three most important goals in coaching are about your own self-awareness, about your own interpersonal, your own personal sort of emotional intelligence or your own interpersonal skills. There's one, negative verbal habit is an intrapersonal. And the nonverbal communication, I think this is where you are onto something, Kevin, which is something must have happened that he has had the feedback that his nonverbal communication is not effective or his negative verbal habit has been brought to his attention in some way. So that's a fair question to ask, is how, what's happened. Are there particular situations or circumstances that have occurred that have made these goals important to you?
Okay.
But what would you say is a strength out of all of that we've been talking about that you can draw on here?
Well, I think from my perspective, what I said earlier, that, I sense that he's a pretty logical, analytical kind of individual. From my limited knowledge of his, what specifically he does, it sounds like that's part of his job, his role, is thinking in that manner. It's not about the fuzzy things. It seems to me, at least, to be about that. And I think that's a great strength. You can build on it. Everything I read in there tends to make me believe that that's the case. I don't know if that's what you're looking for or not.
Yes, that is one of them, but I do think that from what we've just been discussing, that his own self-awareness about his nonverbal communication, his habits, is a strength, that he has that awareness, because so many people I don't have awareness about a negative habit that could be getting them sort of into trouble, whether it's body language or whether it's something they say that they think is funny, or they say it in jest and yet it's not very funny. So I think his own self-awareness is something that we could draw on, or you could draw on when you're coaching him. It's like, you know, he has more self-awareness from what he's written here than you may give him credit for.
Okay.
So you see, that's another strength you can draw on, is he's done the research on it. He knows what the term EQ means. I've worked with tons of technical people who have no clue what that term is, and he does. So he's more than just into business results. He wants to develop his personal side, his people side, and his own self. That's great. There's a lot of guys out there who are into business performance who wouldn't even think that they have to change anything about their own behavior, and he does.
At the end of the day, the simple fact that he's done some of his own analysis, is aware of it, and wants to improve it, that's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
A huge strength.
Yeah, exactly. Great. That's well put. That synthesizes both. He's probably done his own analysis and realizes he needs to improve it. That's a really good way of combining both.
Yeah.
Okay, so only just another couple of minutes if we can.
Sure.
If you go to number 6 over the page,
mm-hmm.
He mentions things he's tolerating.
I like this part about the lack of parking spot at home due to the flood damage.
Yeah.
You have to be from Calgary to appreciate that. That's
so okay.
There was just, for the first time in probably the worst that's ever happened, Calgary flooded, and particularly close to downtown, so I suspect he works downtown. That was in early July. They're still recovering from it.
So. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Anyways, I kind of chuckle at that one because I know you
have
one, and I can understand how frustrating that might be.
Right.
Again,
this is the first time he mentions this recurring injury.
Yeah. A good point.
So just for now, here's my assumption, Kevin, is that if you really focus in on developing his intrapersonal skills, that he will, I'm going to make an assumption till I speak, if I was coaching, I'd sort of be curious about this, is what conversations he has had with whom in order to get better clients and get more, what is stopping him from getting more exposure to the type of industries and clients that he wants.
Mm-hmm.
So does he even ask for what he wants, or is he too afraid to, or has he been told you have to suck it up and, you know, do your time? Because I think he's probably in his 30s. That's my guess somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
but I think he's somewhere in his 30s.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, for all I know right now, he may have been told, you got to fix your interpersonal skills before I can send you off to do something else. Who knows?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is another great question, is to, you know, how did this become so important for you to focus on at this time?
Right.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, Carly, while I got you. Again, this is all about keeping it the client's agenda, but at some point, and you know, I've been trying to focus on this, getting the coaching agreement up front, and by the way, I think I said in my last email that I got a lot more out of the last session just simply by doing that. I mean, it was amazing how we could keep going forward. So, great lesson. But in this case, you know, at some point we're going to have a little bit of, you know, small talk, I believed, at the beginning, and then I'm going to have to ask the question, where do you want to go? What would you consider a success today? What if none of this comes up? Do I just let him run with it?
Yeah, you just, I mean, I think the first thing you would do, and this is why I wanted to record this as well, and why Karen actually suggested recording it, thank you, Karen, is that really on the first session with a client, you want to spend a little more time just understanding them than going straight to what you want to focus on today.
Right.
So if you take, if you take 10, 15 minutes to talk about this, and then it gets clear, like, is, you know, out of all we've talked about, what would be most important for you to take away today from this?
Right.
Or, you know, so be okay with being in the question and being curious and noticing, you know, asking him how this was to fill out this questionnaire. Did he get any insights filling this out? You know, I mean, you can ask him about his primary goal here and how did that come about, to how did he get that awareness about it being about EQ to foster better interpersonal. Then see where it leads to in terms of, you know, letting, I've already asked him and let him know that you'll be asking for something specific to get out of each session, but let him know you just want to be ask him a little more about his questionnaire first or how it was for him and see what happens and then take your lead from there.
Okay. Yeah, that was kind of what I was thinking, was it's particularly on the first one, like you said, it's a little bit easier if, you know, last time I did it, I was the third guy or some darn thing to deal with Donna.
Yeah.
And at that point, I think I probably was too far ahead of myself, and, you know, I kind of figured out what I thought she needed. Didn't give her enough time. But I think as you go down the road, it's easier to define that a little bit earlier. But that was my big concern in this one, was jumping in too early. So I'm glad you said that, and I think that's there's a lot of value in this first session and just trying to find out, get him to do as much speaking about himself and his answers to try to expand on them as best as possible before we decide which way to go.
Exactly. And given there's quite a few different things here, he may not mention his recurring injury, so don't go there if it's not important today to him.
Right.
But certainly listen to what he's made important. The last thing, there's one, you mentioned it right at the beginning, I want to come back to it. The very last thing, though, before we sort of finish up, and I'm just aware of your time as well, is the third world country statement.
Right.
That, to me, is another strength.
Yeah, and I kind of thought that, you know, when you were asking me about strengths, I never connected it, but I kind of, when I read this the first time, I kind of sensed a little bit of admiration for an individual that would be traveling to a lot of third world countries. To me, that just kind of says, you know, I want to learn a little bit more about what makes this world tick.
Yes. And I'm curious as to whether his company sends him there or he says, I make a point of traveling to third world countries regularly. Is that a choice? So there's a humanity part to this. He has a view of the world that other people who have never traveled to third world countries have. So there is a human, very different humanity capability for him, because he's obviously witnessed things that are different to his own, you know, environment.
For sure.
That gives him a different perspective on the world and whether that's a choice he makes. And I mean, I would love to know. It depends on how it came out. I mean, what has him go to third world countries?
Sure.
But
well,
anyway,
probably,
I think
that's probably worth talking about.
Yeah, I mean, see, these are things. Well, now let me ask you, having been through this questionnaire like we just did, what has that made you more aware of?
I think, probably, you know what, as an untrained coach, sensei, no, isn't that what we call you? Yeah, sensei, and I'm a grasshopper.
wasn't it, we had another little thing going.
That's right. I can't remember what it was, but yeah. You're the master. I'm the grasshopper. you know, but what I mean, when you're untrained, you read this and you read it at face value. But by talking through this with you, I can start reading a little bit more between the lines. And I think that's just simply a matter of, again, just, you know, being fairly new to this coaching game. And, you know, there's all sorts of things I'd do if I wasn't trained properly, right? And that's why I'm going through this mentoring thing. But I just got a lot more out of it by going through this one by one and having you ask the questions and maybe pointing out a few things. So pretty easy to read between the lines. Again, I cautioned myself a little bit about reading too much between the lines, and that's just a balance thing I'm going to have to work out.
Yes. And I'd like to reframe that rather than reading between the lines. What we're doing is actually broadening our sort of viewpoint of this client without having a conversation with him. So what it does is, I hope, it actually brings more opportunities for curiosity about the strengths of the client rather than just seeing him as having problems to solve. So now you've got a broader, more full picture to the degree we can have in a two-page questionnaire than where we started. And you're right, it's new coaching, that's absolutely fine, and that's why I thought it would be good for us to have this conversation so you get a broader picture.
Great idea, and I appreciate it for sure.
Good. Is there anything else that would be supportive of you before you sort of coached Cleo tomorrow?
No, I you know what, I think that, again, I think I'll use the questionnaire as a bit of a guideline for the first little while and wait for the sort of the opportunity to try to pin something down and try to move forward with a, you know, a small step before the end of the 30 minutes. So I don't want to spend too much time, but I think that a lot of the things that he has said here probably are worth expanding on and investigating a little bit more before we figure out exactly which way we want to go.
Yeah, just do your best.
He wants
exactly.
To go.
See what happens, see how he responds, ask him some open-ended questions, notice what he says, and then you'll respond accordingly and see where it leads you, and eventually see if there's something that would be important for him to get out of the session. But I'm just going to keep encouraging you to think that if he developed his interpersonal skills to a higher degree, I bet all of these other things he would be able to cope with in a better way.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make an assumption till I speak to him that there is something about his own way of approaching, asking for what he wants, or designing like his own career path, that he may be good at the logical, analytical, but he may not be good at really being clear on what on a development path or what he needs to do for himself in order, and who he needs to speak to and how he has those conversations. All of that would help him with all of these sort of the other things he brings up as his things that he'd like to get less of stress of and his outcomes for coaching.
So, and in the end, to just sum it up, you mentioned don't ask questions that start with why. So what, who, and how are the keys?
Yes, because if you say, well, why did you get to be, why did you do this? And it sounds a little accusatory.
Yep.
So you just switch it into a what. You know, what has you make, what has you bring that, you know, what's important to you about this at this moment?
Mm-hmm.
What has happened that has had you make, you know, realize that this is important? Or how did you come to the discovery that you needed to improve your, or wanted to improve your interpersonal skills?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, as opposed to saying, why do you think you need to do that?
Right. And you can use why, but more from the bigger picture. You know, why is that important to you in terms of your vision? Or, you know, why would that, you know, why would that be great? I mean, that they're sort of, but they're very, very, you have to use them skillfully. Otherwise, they do sound a little like you're accusing the person.
Right. Yeah, well, I think, you know, if you say, how did you come to the discovery that, you know, you feel you need to improve on this or you want to expand on that or whatever? Again, if I say, why do you want to do that, it's a pretty narrow focus versus asking it the way you presented it. It just sort of opens the question up to a lot more answers, right?
It does. And even better is if you hear the client's language and they use a word. So if he used a word that you go, oh, so that's the word I would use instead of discovery. But, you know, you're right. You're on to our language, and what we use is so it directs the coaching. So we need to pay attention to the type of wording we use, because we will narrow the focus, as you just said, or we can expand the focus so the client gets to choose where they, how they answer the question.
Right, right. Well, no, I'm looking forward to tomorrow, and I'm confident I'll do better than I did the first time. I think I get better every time, so that's what it's all about, right?
That's all what it's all about, is each time we just take what we've learned and see what we can do to integrate. So let me switch off the recording, and then let's just have a quick chat.
Okay.